My name's Tony Magistrale, and I'm a professor at the University of Vermont in the English department, where I teach a lot of different courses, but most of them in American literature. And one of the courses I teach is a course on American poetry, specifically 19th century, because I do a lot of work in the 19th century. And so I often teach classes on Walt Whitman, and which is why it's a good match to have me talking about one of my favorite poets and one of America's favorite poets, especially on this celebration. And it's good to be talking about Crossing Brooklyn Ferry, because actually I believe that Brooklyn Ferry embodies the essence of what Whitman is about. All through Leaves of Grass, which, as many people know, many of the people listening to this recording know, is the compendium of all of Whitman's poems over the course of his lifetime. There were multiple editions of Leaves of Grass, including the first one that came out in 1855 that had only about a dozen poems or so. And gradually, as Whitman progressed as a poet and as a, I guess I would call it, his reputation grew, he collected these poems into Leaves of Grass. And Crossing Brooklyn Ferry eventually made its way in to Leaves of Grass, as it rightly should, and it embodies a lot of the same issues that one finds in his earliest work, like Song of Myself, but also even in his latest work, the work that he did after Crossing Brooklyn Ferry. So lots of poems come between the first edition of Leaves of Grass and the last edition of Leaves of Grass, including Crossing Brooklyn Ferry, which probably is a good segue into me talking about where we locate Crossing Brooklyn Ferry and Walt Whitman's prodigious canon. In many ways, I think this 1856 poem embodies the archetypal themes and the lyrical structure that one finds throughout the multiple editions of Leaves of Grass. We have, for example, the presence of the ferry itself as a connecting metaphor between the two land bodies, Brooklyn and Manhattan. This was a poet who was always looking for metaphors that promoted connectivity. That is to say, metaphors and tropes that brought people and animals and the various elements of the universe together. This was not somebody who looked at the world in terms of its atomization, that is, as individual elements that were separated and could never be joined together. Quite the opposite. Whitman took the most obscure and the most disparate elements that he encountered through his life and through his travels, and always looked at them in terms of connectivity. How did they bring a unification? How did they connect to each other? And that's why he chose the title Leaves of Grass. Because just like grass is a ubiquitous element in the world, I mean, you can find it on playgrounds, you can find it in prisons, but you can also find it on the manicured estates of wealthy people. For Whitman, that democratic sense of how we all share a common fate and share a common humanity and a common universe is what made grass such an important concept and construct in the Whitman universe. Well, at any rate, this isn't really a poem about grass, after all. It's about water, and it's about a machine, the ferry, crossing water. And the ferry, I think, serves as a symbol, much like the grass, that unifies not only the people that, if I'm quoting here from Whitman, that shall cross from shore to shore, end of quote, on daily journeys to work and home, but also as a means for unifying and connecting the past, the present, and the future, which were also core elements in Whitman's poetics. As he says in Crossing Brooklyn Ferry, 50 years hence, others will see them as they cross. 100 years hence, or ever so many hundred years hence, others will see them. And I interpret those lines to mean essentially that Whitman's saying, even though he's writing this poem in the present, he knows that it's going to have a resonance that's going to extend beyond the present. It's like dropping a stone in a still lake or a still body of water and watch the ripples come out from where that stone makes contact. Whitman knew that it had this way of linking, if you will, 50 years hence, 100 years hence. Well, there's a circularity at work. And there's also a circularity at work in terms of how the ferry operates, right? That also is another symbol of connectivity, going from Brooklyn to Manhattan and back again. And interestingly enough, that the ferry brings people home, but also takes them to work. Work was a very important part of the Whitman universe. He understood the dignity of work, and he understood the importance of work as a way of something we all do, of course, but it's also something that he saw as being dignified. Nobody's job was inferior to anybody else's job. That's part of that democratic vista that Whitman had when he looked at America. And work was important to the building of America. Work was important to the building of an individual's consciousness and personality. And it's really fun to see how Whitman works with work. And other poets that followed Whitman, like Philip Levine and Allen Ginsberg, who were also aware of the value of work and the importance of it. I like the ferry. I mean, it's very easy to focus your attention in this poem on the water, because after all, it is that famous harbor in New York City, and it serves this connection between these two land masses. But the ferry is also important as a unifying device. The water that flows under and around the ferry is another great metaphor that Whitman employs to signify circularity and human connection. It laps the land masses that it touches, both Brooklyn as well as Manhattan. It represents another image of people flowing across the ferry and living on either sides of the water. And it represents the flow of time, too. It represents the flow of history. They're doing it now. They did it back in the 19th century. It's going to continue on into the next millennium.